Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for joining me for today's program. It's not what you see, it's what you notice. Why don't we always see what's obviously in plain sight? We have sayings, even, in our language about this phenomenon. We use these sayings every day, such as, it's plain as day, or another variation, it's as plain as the nose on his face. And speaking of noses, what about, it was right under my nose the whole time? And one of my all-time favorites, if it was a snake, it would have bitten you. Yikes, right? Well, today we're going to talk about the biological mechanism in your brain that helps you notice or ignore what's right there in front of you in plain view. Maybe it's a possible solution to something on your mind. Maybe it's even the presence of physical things that you do or don't see. What is all that about? What's going on? Well, we're going to talk about that. So, yes, it's not what you see, it's what you notice. Now, I was inspired to use that as today's title because I was remembering a story I heard many years back. It was told by one of my idols in the career development world, Richard Bowles. He's the author of What Color's Your Parachute? And you see, one time I had the opportunity of being in a teleclass, listening in on a live interview with him. And at one point in the interview, he was making a great point and using a quote by Don Tapscott, who wrote a terrific book called Growing Up Digital. And the phrase that he used was, it's not what we see, it's what we notice. And Richard Bowles was talking about the importance of becoming clear about what you want so that you can begin to notice things in your path that help you get what you want. And Mr. Bowles went on to tell a story about a biologist walking in Times Square with a friend. And the biologist heard a cricket chirping and asked his friend if he could hear it too. And the friend could not, at least not at first. And then when the friend heard it, he asked the biologist, how could you have heard such a small, singular sound as a cricket in such a busy place filled with loud city noises? And without saying a word, the biologist took a handful of coins from his pocket, tossed them onto the sidewalk. People nearby in the crowd scrambled to grab the coins as they bounced and they tinkled on the pavement. And he said to the biologist, turned to his friend and said, you notice what you want to notice. So Mr. Bowles' point was that it's worth it to take the time to develop a clear vision of what we want. And I know from experience that it's a vital step in manifesting what you want. When you get clear about what to notice, you'll hear crickets in Times Square, even when no one else could. And by the way, it's very interesting that in the story, it was a biologist who was saying, you'll notice what you want to notice. Because a biologist would surely know about this mechanism in the human brain that helps us notice what we find most important. It's a part of the brain located at the base of the skull called the reticular activating system, the RAS for short. I've talked about this before in previous broadcasts. And the thing is, though, I wanted to talk more about it today, give you a little bit more background because I've touched on it, I've glanced on it, and let's talk about it in a more in-depth way. I first read about the RAS in a book called Getting It Together by Christina Randall. It's a book on getting organized, actually. And there was this piece that she had in the book. She explained that our brains are, quote, designed to have us be right, end quote. She had gone on to this tangent that I totally found fascinating and interesting. It was the only thing out of the book I totally remember, but it was so compelling. She pointed out that the brain doesn't understand when we want less of something, and it doesn't understand words like don't. A good example she uses is when we tell a child, don't spill the milk, and of course, the child will then spill the milk. What the RAS cares about is what you're emotionally charged about. Something if you're into, like, you're highly focused on it. So you're emotionally charged and highly focused on milk spilling, and ta-da, milk is spilled. Now, once when I was painting my living room, after I had read her book, I had this project that was painting my living room, and I found myself in this tight corner with a ladder just fit, and if I moved the wrong way, I'd smear the paint and get it all over me. And I was remembering this principle because I had started to think, don't touch the wall, don't touch the wall. And then I thought, oh, no, what am I telling my Raz here? So I changed it to, I'm staying clear of the wall, and it worked. I recall feeling very empowered when I did it, very intentional. I noticed that I became deliberate in my actions, precise. Each time I moved near the wall, I thought, I'm staying clear of the wall. Now, was it just the positive wording I used, you know, like leaving off the word don't, that did the trick? And that made me feel more confident, and being more confident, I didn't make a mistake. You know, maybe so, but my Raz was definitely involved in that moment. In her book, Christina Randall summed it up with this following comment that I'll quote. Quote, it's one of the best aspects about an intention is that you're telling your brain and the body what you want. It will figure out the how. Once you have clearly identified your intention, the RAS immediately begins to scan your environment for options, ideas, and resources. This way, you don't have to worry and focus on the specifics of how this will happen. You focus and get clear on the what, the outcome. The RAS focuses on the how, end quote. Now, isn't that interesting? Another example of how the RAS works, and a good explanation for what Ms. Randall is talking about when she says that the RAS will scan your environment to show you, is when you're thinking about buying something, like a car or a pair of shoes you saw in the window the other day. If you're excited about it, your RAS will show you that car or that pair of shoes everywhere you go. You might be thinking, wow, this car or this pair of shoes, it's so popular. Everyone has this. But no, there aren't suddenly a bunch of cars on the road that are of the same make, model, and color during the next few days after you went for a test drive than there were before you went for your test drive. Those shoes aren't suddenly more popular today or tomorrow than they were yesterday when you saw them in the window. Your RAS is just showing these things to you because you're emotionally charged up about them. Kind of cool, isn't it? Now, when I was a teenager, okay, this is something I've never told anyone, I used to think I had a superpower. I had, you know, I'm a teenager, okay? I'm not talking about 10. I'm talking about when I was a teenager, so this is why it's hard to admit. But I thought I had a superpower. I have always adored elephants ever since I can remember. I remember my first toy. The first toy I remembered was a stuffed elephant that I had. And mind you, my closest friends and my family members, they knew about this. And even though I don't really collect elephants, I've received my fair share of knickknacks and stuffed animals in the form of elephants over the years. I worked in a bookstore in college, and I treated myself to this fabulous art photo book of elephants. I still have that book on my shelf, and I take it out every once in a while and just kind of awe over the pictures. And I love baby elephants. All of them are so beautiful to me. So I thought I had a superpower. I could spot an elephant statuette, a photo, a painting, a book, a toy, anything that I could see an elephant, whatever. I prided myself on spotting the elephants wherever they might show up. And then I read Ms. Randall's book. Yes, even into adulthood, I secretly wondered if I had a superpower of being able to spot elephants. Like how that might serve humanity, right? Like my superpower isn't x-ray vision, it's elephant spotting vision. Okay. So when I learned about the RAS, no more fantasies about having elephant spotting vision. I finally knew what was going on. Okay, so before I go on, I want to talk, before I close today, I want to talk about having a clear vision of what you want and what it means to you, what it is that you're asking for, before you get your RAS involved to help you get it, how being super aware of what you're asking your RAS to do for you is important. In my last episode, we talked about how you can use daily affirmations to remind your RAS what's important. And personally, I have found my RAS to be extremely helpful in staying focused. Every week, I have a new mantra, an affirmation, or an intention that I repeatedly see on my calendar for something that I'm trying to increase awareness about or I'm trying to develop within myself and become better at or stronger in. Like right now, I'm starting a new one this week to help me focus on increasing my ability to listen well. And the week after that, I'll have an affirmation on my calendar that reminds me that I'm a fabulous money manager. I'm fabulous at managing my money. Now, another one later in a few weeks will be about increasing my creativity and awareness of the ways I can be creative and so on. I've been doing this for years and very deliberately with a structure since 2011. At the beginning of the year, I'll choose 13 focus areas that will repeat them quarterly. So each one I do each week for 13 weeks. And then I repeat them again the next 13 weeks and so forth, so four times during the year, and you have all four of those quarters taken care of. So at least one, four times a year for a week at a time, I'm focused on that particular mantra, that affirmation, whatever it is. Now, I've come to realize that in telling my Raz every week what I wanted to notice, I really need to be careful, because when I'm emotionally charged about something I don't want or I'm worried about it, it will show me that too. And what I repeatedly show or tell my Raz creates a sense of importance as well. So I'm pretty aware that in my mantra and so forth, I don't want to say the word don't and things like that. I don't want to have that negative thing. But even so, it can get challenging. So, like, for instance, in the first year I tried this, because I was inexperienced at that time, one particular focus area presented a really huge challenge because of this. It taught me something valuable, yes, but it made me realize that I must be really clear when thinking about what each focus area means to me. In this case, every day for a week, I was focusing on release judgments. Now, it sounds like a good idea, right, to release judgments about people, about things, not making assumptions, right? That's probably a good thing. Don't judge a book by its cover, et cetera. We have this kind of ingrained learning about this in our moral compass, right? So when I focused on releasing judgments about others during that week, my Raz kept noticing all sorts of things dealing with making judgments. Of course, that's its job, right? I mean, for example, one of the newsletters I subscribed to at that time featured an article about this very topic during that week. That was spooky weird, but it was in a cool way, right, that I got to have my Raz show me, hey, read this newsletter this time. All right, so it's also pretty weird during that particular week that, and this was to me the big, like, aha that came out of the week. A brand new career consulting client, a gentleman who had been, he was in a job search, who knew at hadn't done a job search in a while and was going back out into the market. And during our first session, he came right out and asked me to make a judgment about him. He wanted to know, now, of course, that's common in my work, but in this particular case, it was quite personal because he says he wanted to know what I thought about him when I first saw him. What was my first impression of him as he walked through the door? Specifically, did he look too old? And should he use hair color to look younger? And he insisted that my answer and how honest I was would give him a sense of whether I would be the right consultant for him to work with. Talk about being put on the spot, right? And that was during the week of release judgments. That wasn't lost on me, right? It was kind of weird. So before I answered him, I smiled. I told him that his question was highly ironic because of my particular personal improvement focus area that week. And, of course, I proceeded to give him my answer, which was not about his hair color, but about his energy, which I thought was coming across as frustrated and tired, a far more important indicator of how young or old he appeared, more so than the gray hair he had. So anyway, clearly the universe was challenging me, you know, saying, so you want to learn about making and releasing judgments, huh? Well, here's the thing, girly girl, you'll always make judgments about people because it's part of being human. And here's a chance because someone is asking you to judge them, someone you can judge them with compassion. Here's an opportunity to notice your judgments and express your judgments to this person in such a way as to help him. So, yeah, you know, watch out what you ask for, right? So I got it. I realized that it was not like I was going to ever release judgments totally. It was that I was going to acknowledge that I have a tendency to make assumptions and then strive to question my own assumptions. And the lesson was about embracing a more compassionate point of view of what I had been tempted to judge, whether I'm sharing it out loud or not. So it wasn't like I needed to really increase the moral understanding of release judgments like I thought I needed to when I first adopted this as my focus area that week. What my Raz was showing me was every ounce, every aspect of releasing judgments, including how releasing judgments can be a good thing. And that, my friend, is a prime example of how the RAS works and how it is powerful in helping you get what you want. All right, so that wraps up today's program. You've learned all about the RAS, and hopefully you'll be more intentional about how you use yours, because we all have it, base of our brain, working all the time. So please join me for the next program. It's going to be on August 21st, and I'm calling it When Everything Is Not Coming Up Roses. So you can imagine what that show is going to be about. In the meantime, please feel free to visit my website where you can find out more about my services. And if you go to my webpage, my About page, you'll see how we can connect together online on social media and so forth. So feel free to reach out. Just use angelaloeb.com to find me. That's angelaloeb.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and until next time, be well and keep shining like you're meant to.